Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord for another Sabbath day morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in, and it is our prayer that the Lord will be with us and the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house. Those that are visiting, a warm welcome indeed to you this morning. And to our online audience, wherever you be, may the Lord bless you even as you come under the sound of God's precious word. Let me go through the announcements as briefly as I can by reminding you that today is our retiring offering for the building fund, being the second Sunday of the month. And if you have any gifts towards the building fund, then we certainly do encourage you to leave them in over the course of today. The evening service at the normal time of 7 p.m. with the season of prayer beforehand at 6:30. And the subject this evening, as we continue in our studies in the book of Acts, is encouragement for the discouraged. Encouragement for the discouraged. And we do extend and encourage each one that invitation and encourage you to come again this evening and to study God's word with us here in the church. Then Monday, Friday of this week, every night at 8 p.m. here in the main building, we have our week of prayer in preparation for the gospel mission as it commences next Sunday. And so every night for an hour from 8 till 9 p.m. we're gathering to pray, and we do encourage as many as possible to come as often as possible, and even to set aside these next 2 weeks and to be first of all praying much for the mission and then even coming and supporting the mission in the week that follows. As it always is said, much prayer, much blessing, little prayer, little blessing. And so even for that hour, every week, a night this week, if you can come, then we certainly do encourage you to be making that effort and to come and to pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon this mission. Then we're looking for volunteers on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. to gather to the church here, and so that we can conduct the leaflet drop, the invite cards for the two villages of this area, and even the Cully Road as well. And so as many volunteers as possible, if you can come along this Thursday evening at 7 p.m, the more that's here, the quicker we'll get round and then get back for the season of prayer as well. There are some of the invite cards we've placed in the front table there in the hallway for those that would like some to pass on maybe to neighbours that aren't in the two villages. If you like some cards, then please do avail of them and use them even in the days that lie ahead. Can we encourage prayer even for our brother, Mr. Raymond Morrow, this Friday evening coming? God willing, he will be ordained and installed as a new minister in the Bushmills congregation. That service is taking place in our Corian congregation, and it is by invite only, but Corian have the availability to tune in online. Now, obviously, it's our week of prayer, but it will be on afterwards if you want to go and watch at a later time. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm going to hold up my hand straight away, because I've been invited, and I won't be here this Friday night. So in case you're wondering, why is he telling us to come to pray, and he's not coming? Well, I've been invited to it, and we're going along to that service. But do come and pray. There is still the evening of prayer here. And if you'd like to tune into it at a later time, then certainly do so. Can we mention then, on behalf of our Cookstown congregation, this Saturday, God willing, there will be a protest in our Cookstown, in the town centre itself. The Rural Gay Pride are having another parade through the town of Cookstown. And Cookstown Free Church have organised a protest, a counter-protest against it. And if you would like to attend that, the protest will be at 3 p.m. But if you'd like to attend it, then you're encouraged to go along to the Cookstown Church at 2:30 in preparation for it. Now, if you've kept up with the news in recent times, you'll know that already certain MLAs are coming out against the protest. They're coming out and saying that the Free Church shouldn't be allowed to protest. They're blaming intolerance and all of those things. So there are, and as I said, it's at 3, but Cookstown, if you want to go along and be part of that protest, we do encourage you to go along at 2:30 to be advised even on how to behave and how to prepare yourself for it. They're looking masks to be worn even on the streets, so there's no comeback at all from anyone that would be attending that parade. But do pray against it, not praying against the protest, but praying against the parade, that the Lord would even deal in these days with such a vileness even coming closer and closer to our area. Then the services next Sunday, Commencing with the Sabbath school in the morning at 10:30. It was good to see the children gathering in again this morning. We're thankful that it's been able to get restarted. And the Sabbath school continues next Sunday morning at 10:30. And then the morning service at 11:30 with time of prayer at 11 a.m. And then our first drive-in mission meeting will be on the Sunday afternoon at 3:30. And it's out in the car park, and there will be the stewards there to advise you where to park. We're endeavouring to have the trailer being parked up on the ramp so that wherever you're parked in the car park, all being well, you'll be able to see and to hear the Reverend McRae as he comes to preach. Those services, once the mission starts, 3:30 the two Sundays, and then 7:30 throughout the weeknights. And we're endeavouring to keep them concise to the hour. And the Reverend McRae will be coming. He'll be ministering in song and then preaching God's word. Can we just mention there are no seasons of prayer in the church beforehand, but certainly we do encourage you as you're coming to the meetings, even be praying for the Lord's servant as he comes to preach the gospel. As we mentioned on Wednesday evening as well, we do extend our Christian sympathy to the Johnson family circle. Last Sunday, David Johnson passed away over in the land of Scotland. We do extend our sympathy to Ian and to Rosemary, and also to Mandy and to John, and we do encourage you to remember them at the throne of grace in prayer, and even in regards to all of the preparations and all of the logistics in the funeral taking place in Scotland, do pray that grace will be given and help and wisdom to each one. We're going to commence our worship now, turning in our hymn books to the hymn number 6. And the hymn number 6, you'll find it in the page 177, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, to His Feet Thy Tribute Bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing." Hymn number 6 will stand after the introduction, please.
Ransom,
Amen. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Still ourselves in God's presence. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before Thee this morning. We thank Thee and we praise Thee for the King of heaven. We thank Thee, O God, for the One who sits upon the throne. We thank Thee that all power has been given unto Him. We do rejoice that every enemy will be defeated. The Lord has said unto my Lord, Sit Thou at my right hand until I make Thine enemies Thy footstool. Know what a blessing that will be when every enemy will be cast down, every enemy will be defeated. We thank and praise Thee for the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the victory of the cross. We thank Thee for the victory over sin. We thank Thee for the victory over the devil. We thank Thee for the victory over death and over hell. We do rejoice that up from the grave He arose with that mighty triumph o'er His foes. We thank and praise Thee this day that each one that is in Christ, we live in the realization of that victory. We thank and praise Thee that we shall live with Him. And one day we shall join with Him. And even as we are coming this morning, O God, to consider the praise of heaven, what a blessing to know that one day we shall join in that praise. One day we shall sing the praise unto our Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. No, Father, even until that time, keep us rejoicing, keep us singing. Keep our hearts full of praise even unto our God. We can acknowledge that great is our God, and greatly to be praised. And Father, even as we're found again in Thy house this day, thankful for another Lord's Day, thankful for another opportunity to gather together in Thy house, thankful, O God, for the open door and for the open book, thankful for the precious Word of God. Lord, encourage us and enable us to praise. Enable us to lift up our hearts, not just to praise with our lips, but to praise from the very depths of our hearts this day, to bring all our adoration and all our praise unto the God of heaven and of earth. We thank Thee for redemption. We thank Thee, O God, even this day, that each and every child of God can rejoice that they're upon redemption ground. They are redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but they're redeemed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee this day that we're saved. We thank Thee this day that we're safe. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt bless each one that is here, that Thou wilt bless each one that is listening online as well. O God, that Thou wilt encourage hearts this day, that hearts maybe that are burdened, hearts that are sad, that this day afresh that they will look upon their Savior, that they will turn their eyes upon Jesus. They will look full in His wonderful face, that the things of this earth may go strangely dim in the light of His glory and of His grace. Father, encourage our hearts this day as we worship and praise Thee. We think of each and every family in this congregation. We think of the particular needs even at this time. We do think of those that are mourning. We bring afresh to Thee the Johnson family circle. We think of Ian and Rosemary. We think of Mandy and of John and indeed the entire Johnson family. Think of Davy's wife and children and grandchildren there in Scotland. Lord, that they will know the comfort and they will know the blessing in the presence of Almighty God with them. We pray for grace to be given to each one. We pray for help even in this time of sorrow and of need, that Thou wilt pour in that oil of joy and mourning, that Thou wilt give them the garments of praise. We thank Thee for a testimony left. We thank Thee for a soul that was saved, one who's joined with his Lord and Savior now in heaven. O Father, comfort even the family through this glorious truth, that they sorrow not as those that have no hope. Lord, bless that family, bless in the days to come. We think even of the time of funeral as well, just undertaking all regards, every aspect, every decision, every different part and part of it. O God, that Thou wilt own and bless it all. I will work all things out in that regard. Lord, undertake for the sick of our congregation and the elderly. We bring them afresh before Thee. We ask Thee, O God, that Thou wilt touch them, that Thou wilt be with them, that Thou wilt strengthen them, that Thou wilt encourage them and give that grace that is sufficient, even in the times of need. Lord, remember even this church in the weeks to come. We thank, O God, of what has commenced today, and we praise Thee for the recommencement of our Sabbath school. We thank Thee for every child and young person that was here. Lord, we pray for more. We pray, O God, that Thou will burden parents to send their children and to bring them even to this house of God, to have even their children being taught the things of God from week to week. We pray, O God, that Thou will bless Thy servants who teach them. Lord, that Thou wilt encourage their hearts, that Thou wilt give them, O God, the prayerful desires of their heart, even to see those children being brought into the family of God. We remember as well this week of prayer. We pray, O God, for it. We pray for the sense of Thy nearness. We pray for the Spirit of God melting our hearts and softening our hearts, giving us, O God, that desire, that hunger for prayer, giving us nights of great times of prayer. Whenever the people of God gather together and cry on to their Lord and on to their Savior, we pray for the commencement of the mission. We think, O God, of it, and we pray for Thy servant, Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen him and prepare him for it. Lord, that as he comes night by night, may he be that dying man unto the dying people. Lord, may he preach forth Christ, lift up the Savior, that all men and women might be drawn unto him. Lord, bless and encourage us in these days. We hand this week over to Thee. We hand, O God, the mission over to Thee. We hand indeed this service over to Thee. Lord, come amongst us and breathe upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to read together the words of Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And certainly this is a psalm which ties very perfectly and very well in with the morning's message. We're coming today to consider the praise in heaven. And the Psalm 113 is full of praise. Psalm 113 and the verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. What wonderful words even to meditate and consider upon this morning. Another hymn we're going to sing together is the hymn 69. The hymn 69 on the page 203. Come and let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. The hymn 69 will stand again as we sing, please. Let's stand as we sing. Invite you to open your Bibles now, please, in the book of Revelation again. The book of Revelation and the chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, we're going to commence at the opening verse of the chapter. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation. And hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign in the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful scene is presented to us in the Word of God. As I said, we're coming this morning to consider the praise of heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we bow before thee, O God, and it thrills our hearts, even those words that we've just read. It humbles us to our very core to consider the redemption that the Lamb of God purchased for us. To consider that one day we shall join with that heavenly chorus. One day we shall sing the praises unto the Lamb. And Father, even now as we come around thy word, help us, O God. Help us to understand what is being said. Help us to understand what this passage brings forth. Help us to understand, O God, if we're not saved, our great need of salvation. Lord, work in hearts this day. And even through the preaching of thy word, glorify thy Son, who alone is worthy. Lord, be with us and bless us with thy Spirit even now. In Jesus' name. Amen. When Queen Victoria had just ascended to the throne, she went, as it was the custom for royalty, to hear the Messiah being sung. She had been instructed as to her conduct as queen, that whenever Handel's Messiah was being renditioned before her as queen, she must not arise whenever the others stood for the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. When that magnificent chorus was being sung, the singers were shouting, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." It was clear to all that she was struggling to remain seated. It seemed as if she would rise at any moment, in spite of the custom of the kings and queens. But finally, when it came to that part of the chorus where with a shout they proclaim him to be King of Kings, suddenly the young queen arose. She stood with her head bowed as if she would take off her own crown from off her head and cast it at his feet. My, what a spectacle that would have been to behold. The great king, our Queen of England, even there humbled, bringing worship to the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Indeed, Handel's Messiah is always a wonderful performance to see and to hear. And yet, even at its very best, it's nothing compared to Revelation 5. You know, I think of John the Apostle, the one who's caught up to heaven in the Spirit, the one who's shown all of these revelations there as he's on the Isle of Patmos. And I think of his life, and I think of the times of praise and the times of singing that John the Apostle had even encountered and experienced within his life, those that are mentioned and recorded for us in Scripture. I think of John the Apostle whenever the Lord was entering into Jerusalem. John the Apostle was there as the Lord was upon that donkey and he's walking into Jerusalem. And the crowds gather together in the great spectacle. As the crowds throw down their garments, as they take down the branches, they lay them upon the street, they wave them in the air, and they're crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." We can also think of the more intimate times of praise that John experienced. We can think of that time, the Last Supper, just after the implementation of the Lord's Supper. Scripture records how they sang a hymn. John heard the Son of God sing. You think upon that. The eternal Son of God, clothed in our flesh, sang and praised his Father in heaven. But Revelation 5 brings us to a whole new dimension of praise and of worship. It brings us out of the earthly, it brings us into the heavenly, it brings us out of the ordinary, it brings us into the extraordinary. For here in heaven and here in this passage as it's recorded for us, you have the greatest setting being used to sing the greatest song about the greatest Savior. John, under the inspiration of and guidance of the Holy Spirit, he records it for us. I want to leave three things with you in relation to the praise of heaven this morning. I want you to see firstly with me the setting. The setting. You know, whenever you come to this particular part of the book of Revelation, in reality you must put chapter 4 and chapter 5 together. And John, as it tells us, he's caught up into heaven. He's invited in the verse 1 of chapter 4, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Tells us in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. And John, he's caught up into heaven, and there in the Spirit of God, he records all that he sees. We noted this last week, the first mention that John makes, the first observation that he makes and that he notes, as his eyes go directly and immediately to the throne of God, to the one who sat upon the throne. So picture that in your mind this morning. There in the center, there in the midst is the throne. That's the first thing that John sees. That's the first thing that John notes. It is the centerpiece of heaven. It is majestic. It's a seat of all power and all authority, all majesty. Then we read on in chapter 4, around the throne is a rainbow. That rainbow signifies to us the mercy and the grace of the covenant-making and the covenant-keeping God. Around the throne, you also have recorded for us 24 elders. They're sitting in a circle round the throne. Those 24 elders were not told their names, but those 24 elders represent the church of Jesus Christ. They represent the saints of God. We have the Old Testament parallel in 1 Chronicles 24, the verses 3 to 5, where it shows that there were 24 courses of priests for the Old Testament temple. And there in heaven you have the 24 elders. Then around beside the throne it tells us there's four living beasts. There's a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle. These four beasts speak of God's creation. And they speak of God's covenant with all of creation. You know, you take those words and you take even the types of beasts that are recorded for us in those verses 7 and verse 8. And it tells us there are the man, there is the lion, there is the calf, there is the eagle. And then you compare them and you contrast them and you bring them to the book of Genesis. You bring them to Genesis 9, the verses 9 and 10, when God's establishing his covenant with Noah. And God says there, I will establish my covenant with you, that's man, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, that's the eagle, and of the cattle, that's the calf, and of every beast, there's the lion. And so those four beasts in heaven, they represent and they show forth God's covenant with all of creation. They are round about the throne. Then those verses in chapter 4, it tells us that out of the throne proceed lightnings and thunder and voices. Indicates to us and reminds us of God's infinite power and justice. Then in chapter 4 also it tells us before the throne, seven lamps and a sea of glass. The lamps, they symbolize to us the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. The water, or the sea of glass, signifies his purity. And that's what's described to us in chapter 4. That's John as he builds up the picture. That's John as he builds up the setting. He's showing forth to us exactly what this place is like. Exactly who is gathered in this place. Exactly why they're gathered in this place. And exactly who they're gathered around. And then when you come to chapter 5, John lifts his eyes further. He lifts his eyes past the four beasts. He lifts his eyes past the 24 elders. And his eyes then come and he sees there in the midst, there is a lamb. The lamb as it had been slain. And around the lambs, the four beasts, then the 24 elders. And he sees this innumerable multitude of angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, and they're all standing around. And then behind them, John sees more and more of creation. As all of the individuals of all of the people of all of the creation of God's gathered together. My, what a setting this is. What a place, what a picture, what a prospect, what a reality. Because child of God, even as we're gathered here today in God's house, even as we've sang praises, there's a song's been going on in heaven the entire time. Singing has never ceased in heaven. We've came today and we've sang two hymns. You may have sang this morning as you got up and walked about your house. I don't know, but there's singing continues in heaven. It never stops. Never stops. Right now in heaven, gathered around this very throne, is a great company of people. And they're singing. The setting. But then secondly, I want you to see the verse 9, the song. the song. It says they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You enter the picture as we see there in the verse number 6. Under that picture has entered the Lamb as it had been slain. You know that word for slain, you take that Greek word and you translate it. It's translated as butchered. It's translated as slaughtered. It's translated as wounded and as killed. And surely even that one word, slain, you have then the thought in your mind, you have the thought in your heart of all of the words of Isaiah 53. Word speaks about Christ being wounded for our transgressions, being bruised for our iniquities, being brought as that lamb even to the slaughter. And there in glory the lamb comes forth, the lamb that was slain, and the lamb is acknowledged. Because it's as if they've done the search, they've looked around, they realize here is a scroll, here is a book, and it's sealed. There's 7 seals upon it. They've done the search through all of heaven. They've done the search, as it were, through all of earth. No one's worthy. No one can open the book. But then the Lamb, the butchered Lamb, the slaughtered Lamb, comes forth and takes the book. In that moment, whenever Christ comes forward as that lamb slain, tells us there, the verse 7, he came, he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, 4 beasts, 24 elders, they fall down. Singing breaks out. The song that his songs described as a new song. And this new song that is sang is like no other. No other song comes near it for doxology. In other words, praise. No other song comes near it for theology. No other song comes near it for Christology. You'll see even by the words, and you just break up the words that are found within these verses in terms of the new song, you'll see it's a worship hymn. Because it begins with the words, "Thou art worthy." Right from the outset, as those 24 elders and the 4 beasts have cast themselves down to the ground, and that song has begun, the very first words, the very first line of the song, it's this, "Thou art worthy." It's worship. What does the word worship mean? It means worth-ship. It's to ascribe worth. Christ alone has worth. Christ alone is worthy. It is a worship hymn. It's also a gospel hymn. Because it says, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God." Why isn't it wonderful the songs in heaven are about the cross? The songs in heaven aren't about just creation. The songs in heaven aren't about individuals. The songs in heaven are about the cross. They're about the Lamb that was slain. They're about the one who went to the cross and died for our sins. The one who redeemed us by the shedding of his blood. It's a worship hymn, it's a gospel hymn, it's a missionary hymn. Because it tells us there that he bought them, or redeemed us to God by their blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, nation. My, how true are the words of John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." My how true is the commission of Jesus Christ to the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Because here, even that missionary endeavor, that missionary emphasis that was placed upon the church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, what was it? It was an evangelistic. What was it? It was a missionary endeavor to go into all of the world to spread the gospel. That missionary emphasis continues in heaven. That out of every nation, every kindred, every country, every tongue, there are men and women will be saved and gathered into the family of God. I see also that it's a devotional hymn. Because there in the verse 10, as it continues, it says, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests." We looked at this in 1 Peter 2 just the other night. We're priests together in the temple of God. We quoted as well Revelation 1 and 6, where we have been brought and we've been made the priests and kings. Here, even in heaven, that devotion is being sung about. That devotion is being ascribed. We are the priests of God. We are the kings of God. And I see as well, one final thing, it's a prophetical hymn. Because of verse 10, it ends with those words, "We shall reign on the earth." You know that petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," will be realized and will be fulfilled. My, what a hymn this is. It's full of worship. It's full of praise. It's centered completely upon the Lamb. It's centered completely upon His work. It's centered completely upon His redemption, which He has purchased. It's centered completely upon Christ. You see, this is what worship and praise is supposed to be. This is what the coming together is supposed to be. Whenever we worship the Lord, whenever we praise the Lord, we are specifically coming to Christ. And we are worshiping Him. See, men and women, worship is not about you. And it's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how you can be made to feel. It's about Him. It's about who He is. It's about what He has accomplished. No, too many of the modern songs, and I say many, not all, too many of the modern songs today are filled with humanistic ideology. It's crept into the Church of Jesus Christ. There are songs today that are being sung in churches, and it's just repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. Same lines over and over again. It's about how the person feels. How happy they are as they leave. How light it's been for them. How comfortable it's been for them. It's too much about the person themselves instead of the person of Christ. Our worship is not repetition. It's to be about redemption. Child of God, when we come to worship, we come to exalt Christ. We come to glory in Him. We come to praise Him for what He's done for us, what He's done to us, what He's done through us. No, you measure up the hymns, the modern hymns of today, those that are just filled with repetition, chanting, as it were, the same line over and over again. And you compare that to the first hymn we sang this morning, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." To his feet thy tribute bring. Why? Ransomed. Healed. Restored. Forgiven. Who like thee praises sing? That's worship. Because it brings us to Christ. That he ransomed us. That he healed us. He restored us. We praise him. Can you sing that today? Can you say that today? That he is worthy. You say today, as you came to this house and as you're in this house now, I love him. I worship him. I praise him. I glory in him. I honor him. It's all about Christ. It's not to do with me. The setting, the song. One final thing I want to leave you with this morning is the singers. The singers. John here in Revelation 5, he's painted and described a wonderful picture. The song begins. You notice from the words of Revelation 5, the song begins nearest to the throne. It begins with the four and the 20 elders. Having fallen down before the throne in worship, along with the four beasts, it is the 24 elders who sing first. Those representatives of the church of Christ, those representatives of the redeemed. And they sing with full hearts. Full hearts. Of worship and of praise. How do I know their hearts are full? I see it even just in those words that come before it. The fact they fell down. They fell down before the Lamb. They couldn't stand. They wouldn't stand. Their hearts were overflowing of that love and that adoration for their King, for the Lamb who was slain for them. And they fall down. And then they sing. Their hearts are filled with thankfulness. And in that picture, it's just as it were, it's just growing. That song is growing as it comes out from around the throne. And it just works its way back. The 24 elders, they've sang first. And they've sang, as it were, that opening verse. And then a great chorus arises. As the 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands. And all of the angels, they just lift their voice. You notice, but notice the words of the angels. They don't mention that they're redeemed. You compare the words of the 24 elders to the words of the angels. They do not mention personal redemption because they've never experienced it. But they can sing about it. Because as Ephesians 3 and 10 tells us, they have been instructed in it. And you think of that there. There was the first verse. It's the 24 elders gathered around the throne. And then the chorus comes in. And it's all of the heavenly host of angels. The thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And all of that chorus is just ascending. And then they finish their piece and their introduction, as it were. And then comes from that every creature, verse 13, which is in heaven and on the earth. Heard I saying, blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. There comes the great crescendo at the end. It's all of creation. And all of heaven. Great cacophony of praise and of worship. And the four beasts that are standing around the throne are just saying, amen. 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 Every singer, every verse, every line, every word, from every heart, is on Christ. Oh, the wonder of it all. The one who came into time, took our flesh, laid in a manger, born in a stable. The one who was simply known as he grew up as a carpenter's son. The one who never owned a home or even a donkey. The one who suffered unspeakable indignity, unimaginable barbarity at the hands of his creation. The one who was butchered, slaughtered, nailed to a cursed cross. Above all, the one who was made sin for us, has now left his estate of humiliation. Even after that separation from his Father, being laid in that tomb, the humiliation ceased. The exaltation began with the ascension, even from the tomb, and then the ascension into glory. The exaltation continues forever. All of creation, all of his people, all of his angels, all to him they praise. And those that butchered him, those that slaughtered him, those that nailed him to a cross, will bow the knee one day, confess him as Lord. The lamb that was slain gets all of the praise. You might say, well, this is the old heaven. What's it going to be like in the new heaven? We spoke about that last week, didn't we? We came to the end of Revelation. We looked at the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. What's going to happen in the new heaven? The praise continues. The singing continues. The worship, the love, the adoration, it never ceases. Now I wonder this morning as we finish, do you know him? Do you love him? Do you worship him? Wonder today, will you join with that heavenly host in heaven one day? Whether it be with the Lord calling or the Lord coming, will you be gathered around the Lamb as he's in the midst? Like the 24 elders, will your heart be full as you worship the one who redeemed you, who forgave you? Maybe I'm speaking to one this morning. You're still rejecting the gospel. You're still rejecting the sacrifice of Christ. My friend, even through the words that were sang in heaven, and the worship that's ascribed in heaven, I want you to see this. There's no other one that anyone turns to. There's no other one that anyone looks to or sings to or praises to. That brings it afresh. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way. No one sings to Mary in heaven. Mary joins with that crowd in heaven, and she's singing on to her Savior. No one looks to any other God. No one looks to any other religion. No one looks to any other teaching. It's the Lamb. His death and his resurrection that salvation comes through. We're ransomed, we're restored, we're forgiven, we're healed because of him. Him alone. My friend, therefore, I urge you, put your faith and trust in Christ. Believe on him. Turn to him. Don't look to another. There's no other one in heaven or in earth was worthy and is worthy. You need Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. O God, it thrills our hearts. We consider our Savior, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us. We thank thee for the Lamb that was slain. We do, O God, acknowledge this day and ascribe to him all of our honor, all of our glory, all of our praise. You say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Oh, Father, we pray that each and every one that is here in thy house this day and has listened to thy word, or even will listen to it in the future, Lord, I pray that each and every one will know and be known of the Lord. And each and every one this day can say, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, separate us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us. Bring us again this evening, O God. Bring others with us as we gather to worship, as we gather to praise thee. Lord, undertake, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.